Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome to Your Family Dog podcast. I'm Julie Fudge-Smith and I'm here with Colleen Pilar.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Colleen. Okay, what's the problem for today?
Today's problem is, what do you do when a dog is underfoot or begging when you're preparing or trying to eat your meals?
Wow, that is a really common question. And in fact, just this week I had a client, Lisa and David. They have a little lab mix, MacGyver, who they've had for just a few months, and he's about a year old, so he's in that real energetic phase. And he loves them and they love him. The problem is, he shows his love by jumping on them and on the table when they sit down for dinner, so that they have not been able to sit down and have a meal at the table for 3 months. Instead, they're now standing at the counter eating their dinner. And they ask me, what are we going to do about this? We'd like to have a meal together, but have MacGyver in the room with us.
Well, that is certainly a challenge. I can just picture them standing there at their counter guarding their plates and hoping MacGyver doesn't MacGyver his way into them. Well, one of the first things we always need to think about when we're trying to change a behavior is, if you want the dog to stop doing something, you need to flip the question. What do you want the dog to do? And that's a real sticking point, because people always say, well, I want him to stop jumping on me while I'm making dinner or eating dinner. That's not a behavior. Stop is not a behavior. So when we were thinking about it, came up with four different options of an actual behavior that MacGyver could do, something he could do, a trained behavior, so that Lisa and David can have something to do. So we're just going to go through them. I'm going to cover the first two, and then we'll flip over to Julie, and she can cover the second two, and she can tell you how Lisa and David solved the problem in their household. But hopefully one of these options will be a good one for you. So the first thing is to decide that there's a place for MacGyver to be while you're in the kitchen and busy. So you could set up a bed in the kitchen and have MacGyver on the bed, train him to be there. The easiest way to do that is to give him something to chew and make that place a really wonderful place to be. Now, if MacGyver doesn't stay on the bed, you've got two options there. Your first is, you could use a tether. Just hook up a little leash there. In fact, I keep a leash hooked to my desk in my office for just those moments when I would just like to be able to restrain a dog. In my house, we call it contemplating world peace. It's time for Edzo to contemplate world peace. And so we can just hook him up, easy access, no problem. That's what a tether is for. So Lisa and David could put a bed in the kitchen and maybe a tether nearby so that they could keep MacGyver on the bed. Or, a little bit trickier, they could choose places where MacGyver's allowed to be. For example, he can come no closer to the table than the dishwasher. And why do I say the dishwasher? It doesn't really matter what it is, but we need to have some very clear definition that the humans in the household agree on of what is yes and what is no. Because guess what? MacGyver's going to creep closer, creep closer, creep closer, because that's what dogs do. So if they have a very specific area, often it's easier if you can put different flooring there. So put a kitchen mat and say, as long as MacGyver doesn't cross over that mat, then he's in an okay place. Again, this is a behavior that would need to be trained. But if Lisa and David can put some time and thought into thinking about what do they want MacGyver to do, they may be able to create areas that are MacGyver zones when they're cooking or they're eating. So those are the first two options, training him to lie on a bed with something to chew, or perhaps just choosing a specific distance away or a specific place for him to be, or even just over the threshold into another room. And now I'm going to toss it back to Julie, and she can cover the next two options.
Thanks, Colleen. Those are great suggestions. I've used tethers a lot in my house, and I think we're going to start contemplating world peace here, too. That's a great way to put it. My suggestions are, it's possible that you could put MacGyver in another room. Maybe your kitchen or your dining room are set up that you can put a baby gate between the table and MacGyver so that he can be in one room and see you, but not necessarily be with you in the room. So that's one suggestion. You can use a door. I had French doors in my house in Virginia with a window, and so he could be on one side, see what was going on, but not be right there with us. A third thing is kind of create another room for MacGyver by having his crate in the kitchen. If your kitchen's too small for that, a tether, like Colleen said, would work. But a crate is another way for MacGyver to be with you, but to be in his own space. Another terrific thing to do is remember to train your dog to be happy to be alone when people are home. Your dog doesn't always have to be with you. So if you give him a bed in another room, or you put a baby gate up and you give him something to do on the other side of the baby gate, he will learn to be happy alone, even when his people are home. And that can be a very valuable skill for other things as well. You can also use, in conjunction with all of these things, as an intelligence toy. So what do I mean by an intelligence toy? It's something that's usually food-filled, and it requires the dog to use some mental acuity to get the food out. The classic one is the red rubber Kong that can be stuffed with kibble or peanut butter or wet food or cheese or leftover chicken, a wide variety of things that would be of interest to MacGyver to work on while his family is eating dinner. The other kinds of intelligence toys are ones that are interactive that the dog has to move around. So, for example, there's one called a kibble nibble, which is a spherical object. You screw it apart, put the kibble in, and the dog has to roll it around to release the kibble. There are a variety of them, and you can find a whole list of them in our show notes if you check it out on the website. Now, what did Lisa and David do? Well, for them, since they both work, the option of putting MacGyver in a crate was not one they wanted to do, since he's in his crate all day, and they really wanted to have him around. They just didn't want him on top of them. So the solution that worked the best for them was the intelligence toys. They bought a couple of Kongs, and they taught him how to use them. And then, to make them a little more difficult, they started freezing them so that the Kong had kibble and wet food and a little bit of cream cheese, and they'd freeze it so it was really interesting for MacGyver to use, and it took him a while to clear it out. But as soon as he cleared up the Kong, they handed him a kibble nibble. And so he would roll that around the living room while they ate their dinner. And it gave them a good 20 minutes to be able to sit down and eat together. So, Colleen, do you have any other alternative solutions or uses for this solution?
Yeah, I think that these kinds of ideas can be applied to so many aspects. And if you sort of look at where in your life are moments that you would like to have the dog busy doing something other than being underfoot, there are lots of those moments. A big one for all of us is bringing in groceries from the car, because you take multiple trips. So if the dog is just crowding you at the door and you're trying to get in, trying to get out, trying to get in, trying to get out, it'd be really great if the dog was having a happy solution doing something or being somewhere else while you were doing that. You can also use these tips for when it's, you know, your kids are doing their homework and you'd like the dog not underfoot or distracting them at the table or playing games, any of that family activity. Anytime you want the dog to be actively engaged in something other than participating in your kitchen activities. And kitchen is an area where dogs always want to be involved. They're very, very interested in that. So Kongs and kibble nibbles and interactive toys have tremendous uses across the board. You should definitely check out the show notes and get more info on those.
I had another idea for a time to use this solution, and that is on rainy days. So if you want your dog to have something to do and you don't want to go out for a long walk, this is another terrific thing. Give him some mental activity and you'll find he'll be a little bit less crazy during the day. And the other thing is if in the morning when you're getting your kids ready for school, if he's underfoot, that's another good time for a frozen Kong. Whoever said breakfast had to come in a bowl, it can always come in a Kong. So that's another good time when you're trying to get kids in and out the door as well. So those are two things that I have used with my dogs.
Yeah, those are great tips. And definitely rainy day activities, anything that keeps a dog happy and busy inside on a rainy day, we're all in favor of. So I think that those are all real simple things that families can look at. And the real idea for any behavior is, what do I want the dog to do? So more we can focus on, how can I help this dog have a happy, fun experience of doing something that we all enjoy, the better off we're all going to be. So, Julie, what do you think about that? Does that pretty much cover our first podcast topic for today?
I think it does. And I would just reiterate the four things real quick. Teach your dog to lie in the bed with something to chew. Be in another room. choose a distance away or a specific place for the dog to be, and to incorporate intelligence toys are all things that your dog can do to be happy and not underfoot. So, thank you very much for listening to our very first podcast. We are asking you for your questions and suggestions. You can contact us either with your questions either by email through our website, which is www.yourfamilypodcast.com, or you can call and leave us your question via voicemail at 614-349-1661. And if we use your question, there will be a prize.
Thanks so much for joining us for our very first podcast. We hope that you feel the way we do, that life is just better with a dog.
Thanks, Colleen.
Bye, Julie. See y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.